our community connection this morning, brought to you by Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. As we typically do on a Tuesday morning after a Monday evening city council meeting, we're talking city business, and our newest city councilman, Paul Stewart, in to have a little bit of time this morning. Thanks for coming in, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me today, Charlie.
And a somewhat busy city council meeting last night. We probably won't cover everything, but hopefully if you wanted to know that much, that the public was at the meeting last night. One of the things that I think is particularly important, it has been a long time coming, but the final water reuse study report, water engineer Terry Lauritsen making his report to the council and getting a little bit of help from the state of Oklahoma, but it looks as though we are, I'd say, clear to move ahead if we choose to do water reuse, right?
Yes, that's correct, and hopefully we'll have it, all the studies done and have it built and working in May 2021, so just in time for summer. If we end up having a drought then, this is something that they've really only been working on for a few years before about 2012 or 13. The state of Oklahoma didn't permit water reuse, and so the city was trying to find a lot of other ways to get water, and this one's nice because it's drought resistant. Even if there's a drought, people are still going to be taking showers and washing dishes and those type things.
Yeah. It's a lot of the, depending on how we use our water at our particular home, some of it may go into a hot tub or a pool. Some of it may go on the lawn. Mm-hmm. But again, it's that bathing, that washing dishes, flushing mm-hmm. the toilet. That's mm-hmm. that's our major use of water across the city.
Yes.
And so I think it was an interesting report. I guess something that I think Terry had alluded to in some of his previous reports. But basically, the water that we are taking out of our wastewater system and dumping into the Caney River, and I use the word dump very loosely, but putting back into the river, it's cleaner than the river water. As a matter of fact, it's very clean.
Yes, yeah, that's what really amazed me. And I asked a few months ago, with as close as our water treatment plant is as to how close it is to where we draw the water in under the 123 bridge, do we need to pump it up 7 miles, or can we just connect it in because of how clean it is? And the answer was, well, pumping it up that 7 miles and letting it come back down kind of lets nature take its course and even, clean it a little bit more. And then we catch it right when it comes back down.
Yeah, to use those natural processes that have been working for centuries.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. But then it's still, when it's mixed with the Caney River water, the report, and I only know the summary, so you've mm-hmm. got the details, but yes, we probably wouldn't want to just because it doesn't look clean, but we could safely drink the water if we chose to.
Yes. And one of the things that kind of amazed me was the chemicals that they measure in there, they can tell you what medications people in Bartlesville take from what comes out of that wastewater. A lot of them, they have thresholds of like 100,000 parts per trillion, which really amazes me at how small that they can measure this stuff. But coming out of our water, instead of 100,000, we've got like 74, just orders of magnitude smaller than what's allowable and is deemed safe.
Mm-hmm. And I think that says a lot about, partly our filtering process, that it is that clean when it's coming out. And if we could, it's not that we're flushing the pills down the toilet, it's just that's the natural process when the pill goes through a human being.
Right, right.
That there are certain medical waste products that we excrete, but it's a matter that the water is treated that well, mm-hmm. and so it's something we can reuse. And you know the story better than I do. Should we come upon a drought situation, that X percentage, whatever it is, 80, 85, 90% of the water that we run through our water treatment mm-hmm. plant and comes out the faucet is going back into the system for us to reuse.
Yes. It'll be more like half, and that's because of some of the government regulations say, that's how much we can pump up and reuse safely. Something that may happen in the future as technology gets better is that we can actually treat the wetter water better than we are today, and in that case, we would be able to pump more upstream and catch it when it comes back down. Something we asked about last night was a capacity, and it's going to be an 18-inch pipe. And so that would actually hold at maximum capacity about 4 million or about 6 million gallons a day. And right now we're only allowed to do 4 million. So if we ever are allowed to increase capacity, we can do that just by adding extra pumps and not necessarily another pipeline.
Okay, so there is plenty of capacity in the plan should, when we are ready to reuse the water, the system will be working for us.
Right, and even when we do reuse it, which we would only use this in the case of a drought. Normally, mm-hmm. the water's just going to go into the river, and we're not going to do the reuse. But in the case of a drought, we would do it, and even then, it would still just be supplemental. It wouldn't be our sole water source.
So our current water source is still going to be continuing as far as Hudson Lake and, of course, Copan and Hula yes. Lakes, the plans that are already in place.
Yes, that's correct.
And, of course, I know we worked with the Corps of Engineers over the past 8-10 years just to make sure that we have that capacity both at Hula and also at Copan so that mm-hmm. those would be our primary supply sources.
Right, and we may actually be getting, we're waiting on some decisions from the Corps on getting more capacity from Copan. The Bartlesville water situation is, I mean, it's serious enough that, you know, in Washington, D.C., there was a head of a department or a deputy, and he got asked at Congress, like, are you aware of the Bartlesville situation? And he was. And I think there's a lot of people in Bartlesville that aren't aware of the Bartlesville situation and our water supply.
Well, we've had several folks that have made regular delegation trips to D.C. If I start naming names, I'll leave some important person out. So I'll just say several people have made trips over a series of 6, 8, 10 years mm-hmm. just to make sure that D.C. has the message. And I'll also include our current and past representatives, mm-hmm. and also Representative Mullen over in the 2nd District has mm-hmm. Done his work in the House. Mm-hmm. Senator Inhofe carried the word of bill in the Senate. So we're getting good congressional support.
Yes, too. Yes, absolutely.
Other items last night, I know that there was some talk about Citizens Police Academy.
Yes.
Just publicizing that a little bit. I graduated from, I think, the first one that had held in a while. That was back in 01. But this is not a new program, but it's something that I think the current chief sees as value in getting citizens involved and looking at things from law enforcement point of view.
Yeah, you're right. And they've got 20 open spots. So far, they've got 15 applications, and so we want everybody to apply that's interested. That'll also gauge demand on whether we need to do another academy if this one fills up. It's an 11-week program on Tuesday nights from 6 to 9. People are going to learn about the police department operations, the K-9 program, Miranda warnings, when they're allowed to use or use of force issues that come along with the police. Something that I know you're interested in is the Crime Stoppers program. Mm-hmm. That they'll go over some of that too. It really seems like it's going to be interesting for anybody that wants to go do that.
I think it will be worth their time. Once a week, I believe it's on Thursday nights, 7 to 9 o'clock. If I'm remembering correctly.
I was thinking it's. Let me see. Classes will be held from 6 to 9, and I believe it's Tuesday.
Could be Tuesday nights.
I think it's Tuesdays.
Okay. It's definitely worth your time, and there's no charge.
Right.
So go find out what's going on and get involved. We'll take a break, and again, we're talking with Paul Stewart on a Community Connection 1400 K1. We will continue in just a moment.
Announcing the new Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma. Two of Oklahoma's premier orthopedic experts, Central State Orthopedics and Eastern Oklahoma Orthopedic Center, EOC, have now merged to become Oklahoma's premier orthopedic healthcare expert, Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, PLLC. So if you're in need of back surgery, knee or hip replacement, call the specialist at Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma now offers the best orthopedic care in the state, and I should know. It's where I had my back surgery. So whether you're in need of back surgery, hip or knee replacement, trust your happiness to Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma, located in the Natalie Building at 65th and Yale. Call 918-494-9300. Advanced Orthopedics of Oklahoma.
Again, spending a little bit of time this morning on a community connection talking with Councilman Paul Stewart, and there is a survey that will be coming out in soon, and I'm not sure how many days or weeks into soon other than it's coming up, but it was a campaign issue for you, curbside recycling, something that the citizens had talked to you about during your campaign, and that we are asking questions to people, my words, not yours, a list of services, possible services, and what people would be willing to pay for, and I guess what they wouldn't be willing to pay for. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, and they should be getting, they won't be getting the actual survey in their utility bills. They'll be getting instructions in their utility bills that tell them how to log on and take the survey online.
Mm-hmm.
This is really going to tell us where we want to go with recycling in the city, whether it's just extended hours at the current recycling facility, whether it's a second one, or you know, if we can do curbside recycling and make it economically sustainable, you know, that's something that this is going to tell us. So we're really encouraging everybody. You know, if you feel strongly about recycling, make sure you take the survey. Make sure your friends and relatives take the survey. And let us know. A part of it will be what are you willing to pay? You know, because if we find out, you know, people are willing to pay $5 a month and we really need $10 a month or $8 a month, I don't know what that number is going to be, well, then maybe we can't do it. And
sure.
So, you know, you want to put what you're willing to do.
Well, and some of the other ideas that I think are part of the survey, more of an extended survey form, things like not everybody has a truck to take things to the dump. And I will mention that in your current utility bill, you got that certificate that you can make that one trip sometime this calendar year. Some cities offer that as a, also, you call up the city, I've got a I don't care, a refrigerator that I'm going to set out on my curb. They say, okay, you pay your X dollar fee, whatever it is, we'll stop by on Thursday and pick it up. You know, other services that some cities do offer, is that something we may or may not want to do in Bartlesville?
Right, and that's going to be part of the survey, too. I know something they do is they'll put the big dumpsters out in a neighborhood so that you can just go and dump it. Part of that is needing somebody responsible for that, so we don't end up with, I think in the past they've ended up with boats and kind of crazy stuff like that inside these in these giant dumpsters that it's really not for.
Yeah. That's the problem. You leave it open for somebody, and somebody likely will abuse it. But it's going to happen. So that survey will be coming out. Again, it's an online survey. But if you take it with your cell phone and your wife takes it with her cell phone, then we're getting both inputs from the family.
Right. And it'll have some protections built into it so that you know, basically, you can only take one survey from one device, so we don't have people, you know, just going on and you know, stuffing the ballot box.
This is not Chicago. Okay. So that's one thing. Also, coming down the pike, projects in several parks. It is becoming the time of year when some of those projects will start, whether it's the work that I know has already been announced over in the Kitty Park area, but several other park projects coming our way, too.
Right. So one that they mentioned last night was the tower at Unity Square that they've started working on the water runoff. That's something that they have to do first. They said it's day one of the project and we're still on schedule. So that's pretty good. This one I know we've got the groundbreaking for it at the end of March, March 29th at I believe 11:30.
Sounds right.
So that's happening.
I believe the Lieutenant Governor will be here for that event.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And then we've also got at the Civitan Park, the Dinosaur Park, the dedication of the new pavilion is going to be April 26th at 12:15. You know, we really appreciate some of the contractors that donated their labor cost. We've got Urban Haas, Ron Griggs, Kramer Concrete, Harrison Drilling, and Taggett Electric, and Lance's Landscaping, kind of working on that and donating some of their services so that we could have that.
It makes it a whole lot more affordable. I know the Civitans did a lot of fundraising on that one, but again, it cuts the city side of the expense quite a bit.
That's correct. And, you know, having something like that for our kids that, you know, maybe have disabilities or sensitivities and things like that is really great that we have that.
Yeah. Work continues on Adams Boulevard, which, of course, that's a ODOT project, and the city is up front. We didn't choose the time. We didn't choose all that stuff. That's a state project, but the state does sometimes inform the city on how things are going.
Yeah, that's correct. I think that's supposed to be finished up here in April or May, which would be nice. And I know that they give the city a heads up, but a lot of times it's a window of, you know, they're going to start sometime this year. Which doesn't really help us with scheduling some of our road work.
Yep, you're right. And some of it, I know there have been two projects, that one and then something on a city side that was fairly adjacent, or not adjacent, but close by, mm-hmm. and probably would have caused an additional problem if we'd have known sooner.
Right.
Downtown parking seems to be coming along project on that one. Downtown streets seem to be coming along pretty well.
Yeah, and we're working on a survey for that. They're going to be redoing all of the streets probably next year, and that's kind of why we're looking at the parking, you know, kind of comprehensively coming up with some ideas, but then maybe even going block by block and saying, well, what works right here? But, you know, because what works on Frank Phillips may not necessarily work on Osage. Mm-hmm. There's just different traffic there, different uses for it. One of the things we're going to ask about is an electric charging station downtown, just because the costs are getting lower on those cars. I think we're going to start seeing more of them. There are cities that have them, and you know, with their right now, they're limited range. People really have to choose where they're going to go based on where those are. Mm-hmm. And you know, we want people to come to Bartlesville, where they may wouldn't if we don't have electric charging stations. And right now, there are grants available that cover, you know, 70% and 80% of the cost. And so I think those would be something that's good for the city, but the survey is going to see if anybody else is interested in it.
Yeah. Speaking of grants, the council approved that forgivable loan last night so that the molding firm can move into the former warehouse and get in production fairly soon.
Right, and that was kind of a standard, basically it's $10,000 per employee, a forgivable loan over 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell everybody else, like, if you hear of, somebody that has a factory that they're wanting to move or something like that, let us know, contact us. We can see if we can make something work out for them. Right now, the Bartlesville Development Authority is working on getting what they call the baby boomer business owners, people that are retiring. They may not have kids or relatives that want to take over, and they're selling. And trying to get some of those to move to Bartlesville. Mm-hmm. A lot of these are you know, companies with 20 or 50 or 60 employees, not necessarily huge, but it's something. And there are 16,000 cities that have development authorities like we have, and they're all going for these factories or jobs where they have 100 or more jobs. And there's really only about 200 of those deals to be made any given year. So the likelihood of anybody getting it isn't that high. And nobody's really going for these, you know, 20, 30, 50 jobs. And so that's what we're going to do. And I think we're the only ones that are really focusing on that.
Since New York doesn't want Amazon, maybe we can move Amazon here.
Yes.
Paul, thank you so much for your time this morning on our report to the listeners. And we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay, thank you for having me.
That's a Community Connection on 1400 K1.
I'm Sean Carey. Edmond police have released the names of the two people shot and killed.